Broadcasting live from the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, for the 2017 ATD International Conference and Exposition. It's time for Learning Insights, brought to you by Training Pros.
All right, Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you from ATD 2017, doing Learning Insights, brought to you by Training Pros. Lee, in this segment, we have with us from, I failed to ask before we got on, Waldinger?
Correct. Very
Waldinger.
Good. Waldinger Corporation.
Should have gone with it. Should have just taken the gamble.
I know. Don't hesitate.
I know. You should just, all right. So with,
you're just trying to be sensitive.
Exactly. With Waldinger Corporation, corporate training manager, topic of the day, structured on-the-job training. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Paul Smith. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, thank you. You know, in the audience, they can all sit down now. Enough standing.
So now, Paul, can you share a little bit about Waldinger? What are you guys doing for folks?
Yeah, the Waldinger Corporation is actually a, for lack of a better term, it's a construction manufacturing entity. But we do, we actually have a couple of pieces of the company, a couple of halves, but the construction half does subcontracting kind of projects where we do commercial and governmental type construction, where we do the electrical stuff, the piping stuff, the HVAC, the ductwork stuff, and all those things inside of a building. So like a facility like this big convention center, we would help put all the guts inside it, but we don't actually build the building.
So you're
itself.
Not painting.
No.
You're doing the stuff that makes it all work.
The bones.
Yeah, we're doing all the mechanical guts inside it.
So now, as part of that, I would imagine on-the-job training is part of that?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, that's for everything, not just the people who are working actually on the job doing the construction stuff, but for even those in the leadership roles, project management and other things, the most effective way that they learn is by doing... By actually being on the job, doing it alongside somebody else who actually knows what they're doing, and... That really is, that cliche, that 10-20-70% rule, that really is, the 70% is where that picks up for these kind of roles, which is why we made structured on-the-job training a priority for us to develop, because we didn't want to leave that 70% up to random chance.
Now, you referred to structured on-the-job training, and there's basic on-the-job training.
There's a distinction for you guys.
Can you explain the difference?
I would be happy to, because that's one of the things that a lot of people say, oh yeah, we do on-the-job training too. And for a lot of places, what on-the-job training looks like is we put you through however long in a classroom. We might let you do a little ride-along time with somebody else where they observe what you're doing. And then we'll send you out to the job and you start doing the job.
And we drop you off.
Yeah. And maybe there's somebody that we say, talk to this person if you have any questions or whatever. But for the most part, your on-the-job learning is similar to your grandfather throwing you in the pond and saying, if you don't drown, you learned how to swim.
We just did that with our intern. We just sent him down the carpet and said, go tell the people down the hall.
Should have had Paul talk to him first.
That we do radio at trade shows. And and good luck. Yeah, just go. We just did this.
So you're saying that's not right. That's what I'm hearing,
well,
Paul.
No, so that's a good definition of on-the-job training. Although I would say the most on-the-job training is more like an episode of Survivor.
We'll see if that's true if he comes back.
We'll see if he does, in fact, survive.
But so then we're structured on-the-job training.
How should we have done it?
Well, that's a very good question. I'll send you my consulting fee afterwards. But
this would be good for us, though. Let's get some real counsel here.
An actual structured on-the-job training program means that you sit down and you say, okay, we know that a lot of this stuff is going to be learned on the job, but what exactly is the stuff that we expect to be learned on the job?
Right.
What are the actual skills, the actual measurable things that they can demonstrate competency in? Not flowery stuff like, that they're giving good customer service or they're...
They like me.
Yeah. Some things you just can't achieve. That's just,
Man, it is a rough crowd, I'll tell you that.
He's quick.
Well, thanks for coming, Paul.
it's not the fluffy stuff. It's actual things that either there's an output, there's a form, there's a process, there's something that can be observed by someone else, and they can actually say you demonstrated competence, and then you identify all of those things, not just like in an isolated instance, but like I'll give you an example. In our company, one of the areas where we use this or are using this a great deal is with our project managers. And we hire people fresh out of college who want to become a project manager. And it was taking up to 5 to 7 years before we felt they were competent enough to be handed the keys.
Five to seven years.
Exactly.
People don't stay in the job for five to seven years.
Well, but they, I mean, they're doing graduated things along the way, but before we felt like they were, had the competence to be handed keys to a multi-million dollar project to be the project manager of, it took 5 to 7 years. And the reason was, a large part, because the on-the-job was so random and haphazard, and you know there was no parameter around it. So now we've said, what are the, all the skills we expect a project manager to learn doing the job while they're out there on the job? And if you print it out in Word document form, it's a
Someone wrote it down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it took us 2 years. and it's about 38 pages long, and it's divided into 20 macro categories. it's huge. And so we're actually, it's actually better electronically. But so we've done all of that, and the intent being that now there's a structure on this so that that new person goes out to a job site, again using the project manager example, they go out to a job site, and now the veteran project manager knows exactly what things this person already has learned or has not learned, so that on this job they know the kind of experiences to give them. Also, they know what kind of things they can just expect this person can do without, you know, having to go back over the same stuff again. The learner knows what stuff they still want to learn and need to learn. And even before they go out to the job, we have a professional development planning coordinator who meets every 45 days with those learners. And in the case of the project managers, they'll sit down and say, okay, where are your gaps? Where do we still have areas that you need to address? And let's look for the project that is most likely to give you that experience. And so now we're much more strategic in how we align people to projects, and we're much more strategic in how the mentor is giving training to those individuals. The whole purpose of this is to take all that randomness and chance out of it. So now, instead of 5 to 7 years, we're cutting that to 3 to 4 years.
There should be a book on this. You know, you maybe in collaboration with the, you know, a solid association. It's just an idea.
You know, that's a really great idea. We should talk to ATD about that. Because actually, I'm fortunate that I got, last year I was able to present here at the conference on this structure on the job training concept, and for some reason they let me do it again this year, and so I was able to be back this year talking about it, and ATD has me now working on a book about this topic. So,
did you invent the term structure on the job?
No, I did not.
Sounds like a Paul Smithism.
No, I wish I could take credit for that, but I'm sure I'd probably get sued.
But
someone
like
probably
a,
has that.
Is there a matrix or an acrostic or some alliteration that we can associate with any of this? What's the magic?
Like maybe if you spell out Waldinger.
S-O-J-T. S-O-J-T is just the acronym, and it's just as simple as structure on the job training. And in fact, I'll just put in a little plug here at this point that I'm sometimes not the target demographic for the conference sessions, because I believe in things being simple and basic, and I'm that guy that sits in the sessions and goes, oh, this is really a good idea. I remember seeing it 3 sessions ago, but it was all called this instead.
Are do's and don'ts. There are some disciplines. There are some things we need to be aware of. So there is some methodology, some discipline, some rigor that can and should be applied to this whole thing, yes?
Well, yeah, and one of the biggest things is not treating it like it's a checklist, because it's not a checklist. Yeah. It should be a path of for this person, the individual learner in question, to demonstrate their knowledge, to be getting the exposure to those things, to be tracking those things. And I'll tell you, the millennial folks coming in, they just love this, because they love that they're being told they're in the driver's seat of their own development. They're all over that. In fact, we had people recently who have said they've chosen to come work for us as their first job, as opposed to a competitor that would have paid them more, because they saw this plan. They saw this overall
that was seen as a distinct advantage.
Exactly.
Something very, very attractive. So before we get off of this, how does it work when you write a book for or in collaboration with an association like an ATD? What is that? What are the mechanics of that?
I will tell you, I started the process discussion with them back in October, and we just recently finally got it all hammered out that we're doing it, and there were many revisions. And granted, I will say that part of the reason for that ATD was very specific about it, because ATD has high standards, you know, that they want stuff to be done, but also in this particular case, ATD has identified that structured on the job training and the whole on the job training area in general is a place where they don't have a lot in that field right now. So they want to do more in that, and they see this book as being an initial springboard that they can that they can then build from that point to go forward. So that's so in my experience has been that they're very, very picky. but part of the reason that they are so picky is because, again, they're seeing it as a foundation that they want to build other stuff on. So they have a vision for what they want it to be too, and I'm fine with that. That's good. So
now if somebody is starting this for the first time and building a structured on-the-job training program, what are some do's and don'ts?
Don't expect that you're going to do it overnight. It's going
to take 2 years.
Well, I don't know if it'll take everyone 2 years.
I've benchmarked it at Waldinger.
Yeah. Waldinger's benchmark is 2 years, at least for the first one. But part of the reason it takes that long is because one of the do's is you should include as many people as you possibly can. Because by including as many as you
possibly can. So you don't get one guy just to go, hey, right. I know how this works.
Yeah, you don't go to the one person who says they're the expert on everything and just document what they say. But by bringing as many different viewpoints as possible and from different levels as possible, not only do you have a much richer item in the end, but you also technically create a list, a whole group of evangelists who will help roll it out when the rollout time comes.
Right, and that's an important component too, to get that buy-in, right?
Exactly. And that means it's also really good to identify the people who are most likely to cause you grief when you roll it out.
Include them, right?
And include them, absolutely.
Early and often.
Get them
it's
in.
Like you invite your neighbor to the party so they don't call the police.
Exactly. Or like, you know, we were at lunch here during the pre-conference sessions, and we said that we thought we were running a little bit late, but we realized we're not in trouble. The teacher's sitting here with us.
So. Exactly. Yeah.
So are there certain industries or sectors or types of organizations that this is more suited for than others?
Well, obviously, I'm going to say construction manufacturing.
Sure, that seems to make
really
sense,
well with.
Right?
But, you know, honestly, any role that is skill-based, where someone needs...
As opposed to hosting
skills.
A radio show.
Yeah, where obviously you don't need skills for that.
Right. Well,
no comment. I did do at CNN over across the street here. They have a little mock studio where you can do a little.
Is that you
little
practice
mock
there
newscast.
Once?
So I went over there and did the little mock newscast. It's kind of funny. Anderson Cooper introduces you and stuff. You know, they have a recording of that, and you do your thing. And I posted the video online, and my friends were all like, "Wow, either you're good at that, or it's really easy to do that."
Those were the two choices.
Yeah, those were apparently the only two chops, the only two options. But anyway, so you asked about the different industries that this might
right,
be
and you're going down the skill path.
Yeah. So I, in my determination, there are three kinds of ways or three types of roles that you train people for. One is a very methodical approach, and what I'd say like an assembly line situation where it's the same widget coming by, you put the two items on it, the next widget comes by, you put the two items on it, day in, day out, exact same thing over and over and over. That is a skill-based job, but it's not that difficult to teach because it's a finite set of skills.
Right.
Then you have the more soft-skilly kind of stuff where you're dealing with people issues and you're responding to things or proactively preventing things, and that's all over the map, and so that's way at the other end of the extreme. Then kind of in the middle are what I would consider the skill-based jobs where you have someone who has to have certain skills to do things, but they may have to have a large variety, wide range of skills they have to know, and in those cases, you can't teach all of that in a classroom. It's not finite.
Sure.
And so there's a great deal of nuance and interpretation they have to know, and they'll get that on the job.
Good stuff. Well, if somebody wanted to have a conversation about you about this with you...
if they want to have a conversation about me, they can.
Well,
that don't need to be...
They're already doing that, Paul. They're already doing that. But if they want to talk to you about a structured on-the-job training and kind of pick your brain a little bit, you're up for that, right?
Sure.
And then they can find you LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn.
The new radio show you're starting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no. Yeah.
Call Anderson Cooper.
Yeah,
you know.
Call Anderson Cooper. He's my buddy now. He's best way to reach
Paul
me.
Smith is might be hard for them to find, believe it or
not. Yeah, yeah. Well, if they look for me on LinkedIn, it's just Paul Smith, ATD. A is in Apple, T is in Ted, D is in David, because, you know, I'm a sucker for the organization. And in fact, if they look for me on Twitter, or they look for me on Instagram, or they look for me on Facebook, or they look for me anywhere, it's the same Paul Smith, ATD.
In there. That's.
But if they want to drop me an email, my email address at Waldinger is paul.smith@waldinger.com, and it's spelled WALDINGER. And so.
And how's Waldinger spelled?
PAUL.
Okay.
Hey, this has been a lot of fun, Paul. Thanks so much for coming and visiting with us. Keep up the good work, and let's keep this conversation going.
Absolutely.
I'm operating under the impression you're going to continue not only to dive into the work and continue to refine, and it's going to evolve, but you're probably going to measure results and have some data, some analytics
absolutely.
Around this going forward, yeah?
And, yeah, absolutely. And then with the book that I'm doing, I'm also going to be interviewing it. It's building up now to a list of about 100 different companies, individuals and companies in different career sectors and fields, getting their input on stuff. So there might be some really interesting stories to share.
Oh, no, I bet there will be. Absolutely. And let's get you back on the show when you get closer to launch. Any idea when that's going to be?
Well, hopefully by this time next year, I'll have a book in the bookstore upstairs. You know, we'll find out.
All right. Good for you. Fantastic. All right. We will be back in a few from ATD 2017.
This has been a Special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.